It was also a pleasure to be here on this particular weekend because I was able to see Jake's graduation from Episcopal High School yesterday, and because Kate's connected to the school, it was wonderful to see the two embracing right after Jake received his diploma. So a very moving and emotional weekend for me. And today's gospel gives a really profound teaching of Jesus's of great simplicity. Here it is. I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Great. How? How are we supposed to have love like that? And he also says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. So how, my friends, can we begin to love like that? I received an unusual answer to that question in 2002, and that is, and I'm going to say it in the imitation of the accent of the guy that taught it to me, structure. He was from Northern Virginia. Structure. So in 2002, I'd been ordained for a few years, serving a couple of different Episcopal churches. I'm a cradle Episcopalian, love the Episcopal church, but I was also finding myself a little frustrated and thinking, surely we can go more in depth than what we're doing. Surely we can pour ourselves out more than how we're pouring ourselves out. Where is there a church that exhibits the kind of high commitment that the gospel seems to demand? And so I started seeking for such a church. And in November of 2002, I found it when I went to a come and see weekend at a small high commitment church in Washington, D.C. called Church of Our Savior. It was founded right after World War II by a Baptist couple, Gordon and Mary Cosby. And they had faithfully been in the Adams Morgan neighborhood, which at the time was a real ghetto, since the late 40s. And they were still there in 2002, Gordon and Mary, both of them, holding together this beautiful community where the people that were a part of it, to be a part of the community, you have to pray for an hour a week. You have to give, beginning with the tithe. And you have to pour yourself out in service of those whom Jesus particularly loves, the poor. They were not just talking the talk, they were walking the walk. And one of the lessons that Gordon and Mary both kept communicating was the importance of structure. We need structure to hold ourselves in love as we die to our old selves and are reborn in Christ. I went away from that weekend determined to try and figure out how could I help create a structure for ordinary Episcopalians that would encourage Episcopalians to take that next step in depth. And finally, by 2011, I had it. It's this on this card. This is a very simple liturgy that I developed with friends, including Kate, that gives us a structure as we die to our old selves and are reborn in Christ. It's a simple liturgy for a small group that gathers once a week. And I want to just point out three elements of this structure for you this morning. And they are confidentiality, being sent, and face-to-face. So confidentiality. When we gather, we say right at the beginning, in part, we become better followers of Jesus by holding each other in his love and by encouraging each other to practice the disciplines he taught. Please remember that everything we say is to be held in confidence, which is one way we hold each other in love. Confidence, holding each other in confidence, is an essential element of this. I've been meeting with my current discipleship group for almost 5 years now, and we know things about each other that nobody else knows. We know elements of our spiritual autobiography, how we were brought to Christ. We know the things that we're each struggling with in our families or with our work or week by week. We know tender dreams that we each have and what we hope will be a fulfilling life for us in God. Right now, I'm carrying things about Jacob, Tanner, Don, Richard, and Jim that no one else knows, and they're carrying things about me that nobody else knows. Held in confidence, which is one way we hold each other in love. Confidentiality. The second one is sent. So there are seven vows of discipleship groups: to pray, worship, serve, be generous, immerse yourself in Scripture, be a faithful member of your group. And then one of them is to discern and follow call. And that one wasn't working for many years. So we finally have revised it so that it says something new. Now it says, by God's grace, I will listen for God's call this week, remembering that Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you, entrusting my discipleship group to test and support that call. The rhythm of it is an invitation for us to understand that each week we are sent. Each one of us, not just the clergy or the monks and the nuns and the missionaries. It's each of us that says this. At the end, right after we've received communion, we have a post-communion prayer. There are three possible post-communion prayers, and each of them encourage this idea that each one of us is sent. Listen to the relevant sentences from the three different post-communion prayers. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. That's the first. Here's the second. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses. Okay, those two have us sent out. Listen to what it says in right one, because it's a slightly different dynamic. And we humbly beseech thee, O heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in. You see, it's like we're being sent from behind and that God is preparing the way before us. This is the way each one of us is to understand ourselves as followers of Jesus, sent each week to do the work God has given us to do with gladness and singleness of heart. So confidentiality is one mark of our structure, that we're sent each week is another one. A third one is one of our core values, and that is face-to-face. We have just three core values: that Jesus, we choose to go deep sea diving in the mystery of Jesus; structure, which is what I'm preaching about; and then the third is that we are determined to be people who engage with the world face-to-face with other human beings. Now, I wish my two sons could read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest that piece of wisdom, because getting them off of their cell phones and their computer screens is a near impossibility. And I also find that I myself, too, am tempted all too often to look at my smartphone or to get immersed in whatever it is that's on my computer screen and lose hours that way. I don't think that's the way we heal the world, my friends. I think the way we heal the world is face-to-face encounter with the people that we meet each week. And the people that we meet each week, face-to-face, some of them will be planned, and some of them will be unplanned. So our work is to be alert to who it is, the faces that God sends our way. Just after I started trying to internalize this at a next level, I had a perfect example of this. I had a meeting at my church at 1:30, a planning meeting for supportive housing for young moms and their children, an initiative that we're planning in Marin County against much resistance. Good people I'm working with. So I was hosting the meeting at 1:30 at church. So I got there at 1:15 in order to make sure I could put out pitchers of water and open up the doors, turn on the lights, do all that kind of hospitality thing. The day before, I had had a phone call from a young mom that I've been in a relationship with, pastoral relationship with, for 7 or 8 years, and she needed my help. And I couldn't help her at the time, but I said, Sylvia, I'll be available after noon tomorrow. So I showed up at 1:15 for this meeting, And Sylvia, as I pulled into my parking lot, Sylvia was sitting underneath a tree where she had been since noon, because that's what I'd said, and her phone had died, and she had no other way, she thought, to get in touch with me. So clearly my call was to simply sit next to Sylvia and hear what it was that she needed to tell me, and she needed to unburden some very difficult things, and I was able to offer a little bit of a help. And she was able to tell stories of several other young moms with whom I'd been in relationship with but hadn't been in touch with for a while. It was a real gift to me. And as I was sitting there talking with her, the people arrived for the meeting and they knew exactly where I was, and this was where I was supposed to be with Sylvia. And then there was the planned meeting, which happened at 1:30, and there I was. Somebody else had gotten the pitchers of water. And fortunately, Jacob, the man who was running the meeting, started off with a beautiful face-to-face way to start a meeting with other human beings. He asked us each to say, "What's a joy that you've experienced in the last few weeks?" So we started on a very intensely personal level. That's living face-to-face. So confidentiality, being sent face-to-face, structure that holds us in love as we die to our old selves and are reborn in Christ. In that weekend visit to Church of Our Savior in 2002, I had a conversation with a young man who was testing whether or not he had a call to be part of Church of Our Savior. And he said to me, "The thing about this place is I feel as though everyone is operating out of their goodness." Operating out of their goodness. It strikes me as a really profound phrase. Out of their goodness. That implies the truth that each one of us has goodness and badness. What is it that we are operating out of day by day and week by week? What I'm suggesting is that structure can help us each be people who operate consistently, not out of fear, anger, resentment, jealousy, anxiety, greed, but the opposite, to operate as Jesus invites us from love. Amen.